Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
You wanna open? I know I usually open. Do you wanna?
It was really weird last week when I said hey, hey, hey.
All right, so. I'll do it. Hey, 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 guys. Did you miss me? I know. I wasn't feeling so great last week. But you guys had an awesome show because honestly, you had one of my faves, Marsha. She's amazing. But I did miss you guys. I'm so glad that Brown Ambition is back and we are black and brown. So I'm excited for today's show. Are you excited for today's show, Mandy?
I've been waiting for this because you've been talking about her nonstop, I feel like, since we launched Brown Ambition. I can't believe it's taken us 2 years to have her on.
I know. We have a special guest that you'll hear a little bit more about later. By the time they hear from us next, Mandy, I'll be a Mrs. like you.
Oh, married woman.
Yeah.
Come to the dark side.
I'm joining the double ring club. Wait, Mandy. With the ring, which one goes at the bottom? Your engagement ring or your wedding ring?
There's no rules.
No,
don't believe in any rules. I mean, I put my wedding band below it. There's also an unspoken rule of like, when do you stop wearing your engagement ring? Because you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of, anyway, I don't know. Just whenever you just get tired of it poking you in the face when you sleep, I guess.
but I'm excited though, so I can't wait to see you there.
We can talk about it, right?
We can.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm sorry I had to miss your surprise bridal shower yesterday. I was getting my teeth ripped out of my face.
No, it's fine because I almost missed it. I was like, I don't feel like going. Jarrell was like, you really should go.
Wait, you were having a surprise party?
No, I didn't know. My friend Linda told me that that she was doing a speaking engagement, her very first one. And I was like, Linda? Because Linda's kind of on the shy side. And I'm like, what? And she was like, can you please come with me? I know you're used to it. But I was like exhausted and tired and I wasn't in the greatest mood. And Jarrell was like, well, Superman. I mean, look at me. I sound like you now, Mandy. Just putting people's names out there. Superman was like, you should really go. I was like, I don't really want to go. He's like, you really need to get out of the house. And I didn't really realize why. And I was like, why is everybody pushing me to get out of the house? So I was slightly suspicious, but I didn't know that's what it was. I was just like, what's happening? And it turned out to be awesome. Honestly, it was so me. It was just a lunch with like, I don't know, must have been like 15, 20 people, if that. Just like my closest family and his family and friends. And we just had lunch and hung out. It was honestly a precursor to like what our post-vow exchange lunch is going to look like. The fanciest thing of like our whole, I hate to even say the word wedding because it's really like we're exchanging vows and we're having lunch with family and friends, like literally under 30 people, like 25 people, 28, I don't know. The fanciest thing is my dress. My dress is like super fancy in comparison to the fact that everything else is like so like, you know, like laid back and chill. But I was like, no, I want this fancy dress.
Girls gotta have their priorities. Don't tell me anything. I want to be surprised. I want to be stunned. Is Supergirl going to be throwing petals?
No, Supergirl is like, you know, she's not. I don't think so anyway. Because we're going to the Justice of the Peace and then we're going to have lunch with our family and friends.
I know. It's going to be all very cute, very humble. But come on, it's a wedding.
I know, right? No, I mean, we're definitely going to do like a whole, and it's crazy because I live right next to a really beautiful park. And so it's beautiful. So we're going to take like 2 hours worth of pictures beforehand of like just pictures. And my friend, well, my video guy, if you've ever seen any of my Budgetista videos on social media or online, he's amazing. Well, he's a director really. And he's young, like in his 20s. So he's actually here because he's coming with me to Essence Fest. And so I was like, well, while you're here, because he lives in Jersey. Well, he's from Jersey. He lives all over the world now. But and so I was like, while you're here, do you think you could do a little cute wedding video? He said, yes. So I'm excited about that, too. So expect to be nauseated by pictures and video.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's weird. I know. Like, was it weird, the transition? Like, when you guys like came back to the apartment where you guys were like, hey, husband.
I mean, it was a little bit not weird. It did sort of feel, I don't know. We'll see how Superman does, but I did feel like Enrique for the first time, like a little bit of that Latin machismo came out where he's like, yes, I am a husband. You are my wife.
Yes,
I am a man.
Somebody else, the young woman, Andrea, who's making my dress, she's got this amazing, if you ever get a chance, go to Pantora Bridal, like her. Pantora, Pantora. She's on Instagram and like, and she has her own website. She's like 28, Mandy. She's literally she's an artist. Her stuff is amazing. I'm like, wait, how old are you again?
I can't even color in the lines, and I'm almost 30.
Her stuff is, I mean, I just can't even describe how amazing. So she made my dress and she just got married herself just last year. And she said the same thing. She was like, because it's just like us. She lived with her husband beforehand and was like, I was like, did it really change when you guys got married? She's like, no, but he definitely was more protective. Like, that's my wife, you know? And she said that, you know, you might see that a little bit. But other than that, she's like, it's the same. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it was, here's what I'll say. If it was good before, it'll be good after. If it was bad before, it'll be bad after. Is that a downer?
No, because not for me, because honestly, it's good now. You know, yeah.
It's not going to make things worse, is what I'll say.
Yeah, no.
It'll make good things better and actually bad things worse.
Yeah, I'm just glad. I'm really fortunate in that I found the perfectly imperfect partner, because I can be a hot mess and I'm always like, yeah, my bad about everything that's going to happen, but here it is. And the fact that he's like, oh, my crazy baby. I'm like, thanks.
My mom was very excited when I told her you're getting married.
Oh, she was.
She sends her best.
Oh, thank you, Mamacita. That's so cute. I love your mom and your sister. They're so cute. So anything new happening that I missed out in your life? I feel like we haven't spoken in so long.
I got a tooth taken out on Sunday, which was the worst thing I've ever done. Oh, and Magnify Money got acquired.
I heard. I was like, wait a minute. That's like every CEO's. Well, most people who build a business, that's like, you know, like the golden fleece. Is that even the right terminology? Fleece? I don't know if the golden fleece. Like the golden goose, like the golden parachute. Like, you know what I mean? Basically fleece. The end goal.
Hold on a second.
I'm turning it to my dad because he always mixes up like his like, you know, he'll be like, hey, I don't know. Like my dad always mixes up his terminology. Like that's not the word I think you meant to use, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So it's all sort of been obviously really, 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 really been sitting on this for a little while, not as long as the founders of the company, but for too long. I hate keeping secrets. Super exciting. Magnify Money. We were bought by LendingTree, which is a huge player in like the mortgage business. They've been around since the 90s. And you know, they bought us, and basically what that means when companies get acquired is that essentially, you know, we're now, it's sort of like the way I've described it is like, Hearst Magazine or Condé Nast. They have a bunch of different brands, different magazines underneath their umbrella. And so we're going to be a brand underneath the LendingTree umbrella. But luckily, you know, I came from a world where when you got acquired, it meant everyone gets fired.
I was thinking that. I was like, you seem pretty excited considering.
No, I'm like, yes, it's okay. It's the kind of acquisition where people don't lose their jobs. And in fact, my job will get a lot bigger and scarier very soon.
Look at you. Yeah. Like, isn't it so crazy how, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to leave this huge conglomerate Yahoo to do this, you know, a little smaller, a little humbler job. And all of a sudden you're like, psych, I'm kicking ass.
Sometimes I wonder where I got the balls. I'm like, That's awesome. How did I do that? I don't even. Yeah. I think okay. Not being so far away from having left like a big corporation or being leaving Yahoo, a big brand, like a recognizable media brand, being so far, I'm like, I realize now the huge risk I took now that it sort of paid off. Does that make sense? Like, I guess I was just like putting my head down and doing the work and not really thinking about everything that was sort of on the line. But yeah, things are working out and I'm excited. And everyone, the whole team is sort of staying on. All the faves, all your faves are going to stay on. And so just sort of like moving forward. But what it means is we get more resources. I can hire more people.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. And we're all down in Charlotte. This is where Lending Tree is based. We're down here this week to meet our new colleagues and eat some barbecue, I guess.
Yes.
So much change.
All right. Are we ready for our guests?
I'm ready.
Are you ready, BA listeners? I hope you are, because I think you're going to really enjoy her, because I know I do. She's not just, you know, like a business owner. She's not just an innovator. She's not just an influencer. She's also my friend. Come on down. Yo, I'm so loopy. I'm exhausted. I'm not even going to lie.
I'm going to save this one. We have the delightful Evita Robinson on the show today of No Madness. Without further ado, here's our chat with Evita.
Two snaps. Yay.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey, BA listeners. So I'm super excited. You know, we don't usually have a whole bunch of guests on Brown Ambition because, you know, Mandy stink. No, I'm just joking.
Come on now.
I'm always the one that's like, but no, we don't have a whole lot of guests. But this guest I'm super duper excited about because she is the founder of a movement that I'm a part of. She's one of the reasons why I travel so dang on much. We have Evita Turquoise Robinson. She is the founder of No Madness. Welcome, Evita.
Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for coming on, Evita. I'm so excited because I feel like Tiffany has been talking about you since the founding of Brown Ambition.
That's my sweetheart.
So, Evita, like, I think, not everyone's familiar with No Madness. So let's start with that. Like, what is No Madness? Yeah. And like, how did you start it? Why did you start it?
So No Madness is an international travel group. We are approaching 17,000 members right now worldwide. And we are made up primarily of brown women, African-American women, 80%, although we have all ethnicities and all gender affiliations as a part of No Madness Travel Tribe. But we definitely are skewed more towards African-American women travelers that are located all over the world. We have a large population scattered around the U.S., but we are definitely full of location independents, entrepreneurs, creatives who have decided that they were going to curate their life. And that does not include being in the United States of America at this point of their time, of their juncture. But it's an online resource where literally if you were going to travel anywhere, literally tomorrow, you could just say, I want to roll out to Italy tomorrow. Where's the best place to stay? Who's in town? Is there a couch I can crash on? Where's the restaurant and the club to hit up? And it's a 24/7 communication cycle of people really just supporting one another. And that kind of bleeds into offline relationships, which are done by over 100 meetups that we have around the world throughout the year. We have approaching 50 ambassadors for No Madness right now regionally in different parts of the planet. which is really awesome. So they're the liaison locally to also my team in the greater Nomadness Travel Tribe community. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about meetups to different sites and landmarks to, you know, a group of people getting together just to have dinner and vibe out in some crazy locale, all the way to huge events that we throw. Like the one that's coming up soon actually is our annual barbecue, which has morphed from an event that's usually around 200 to 250 members. And now we have over 600 coming. So that's what I've been working on.
I remember like when I first joined Nomadness, I think like I had just missed out on like this trip you guys were going to India. And yeah. I was so jealous because I remember I had seen pictures of the Holi Festival where they throw like the powder. And I put it literally on my vision board. And I said, this time, I didn't even know if you were ever going to go back, but I said, I'm going to go to Holi with Nomadness. And I put it on my vision board. And I remember I was on a date, and not with my superman, not with my dude now, but I was on this date with before him. And I remember you were having a buy-in. So Mandy, they have like, when Avita used to do trips, they would have buy-ins that would sell out literally in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so they had a buy-in. And I told my date, I was like, so in about 5 minutes, this trip that I want to go on is having a buy-in. So I'm whipping out my computer and I'm handling my business. So we were at a restaurant. I took out my computer and I got on, and it was honestly, hands down, one of the best vacations, the best experiences. I'm still friends with so many of the women that were on that trip. It was amazing. So what made you like think, and I don't want to take up all your questions, Mandy, but what made you?
Wait. I'm trying to keep up.
Mandy, like, hold up now.
I have so many questions. That's why I'm going to be like, pull the brakes. Okay, so because I've heard about these trips, these amazing trips that you guys plan. So are you part, like, because I've been on these organized trips that I booked through a travel agency, and it's all sort of like planned out for us and you just pay a fee. Do you guys offer that as well, like more than kind of just a community, but actual trips?
Well, yeah. So we're approaching 6 years old, right? And so for the first 5 years, that was primarily what we've done. In 5 years, my team as well as myself have curated over 30 trips internationally with Nomadness Travel Tribe. And it has varied to all these different countries and amazing destinations around the world, ranging somewhere between usually 10 to, on the high end when I'm crazy, around 35 people on one trip. The one that you were on, Tiffany, was pretty sizable too, because India was like a rush. Like people were not, even avid travelers don't like to go to India alone. So they were like, look, like I'm jumping in on somebody she's been doing this for a couple years. Yep. She's been going to India even before she started Nomadness on her own. So, you know, I had the legwork and the dues paid as far as India was concerned. But what we would do is drop the buy-in, and we don't get involved with flights. We never have. And that makes sense just because my members live all around the world. Nobody's ever leaving from the same place at the same time, let alone a group of, you know, somewhere between 15 to 20 people. So we would take care of the itinerary points as well as the lodging and like round trip transportation to and from the airports, as well as to the itinerary points that we created. So that's essentially what people would be buying into when it was a Nomadness package.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I mean, as someone, I accidentally went to India alone last year. Not accidentally. I went for work. And I was like, well, I'm all the way in India. I need to actually go to Mumbai and like see what this is like. And I've always been like a confident, independent traveler. But one of the first things I did was arrange join like a walking tour. And there were three other single women on the tour, and we just sort of just like all glommed together, and it was so, and you're like, yes, because you want to like play tough, but it is so, you just feel so much more relaxed when you're
together. India specifically is a very polarizing place. And I've heard it and I've seen it, you know, India, for the most part, when people go with us, they, you know, they want to go back or they really took something from it. It has the ability to be a real life-changing trip because it will humble you upon arrival.
Yes.
And that's one of the biggest things. That's why I've gone to India every year for the last 7 years in a row, even before I started Nomadness. And so that's how I've built these organic connections with people. A lot of the first places that I traveled to and brought the group to were places that I had been as a backpacker, you know, before I started this, because it's so ironic. I was kind of this road warrior that would get a backpack and just go off and be a solo traveler before I started doing group trips. It's Nomadness that brought me into group trips. Okay. I actually didn't even know if I wanted to travel with people when I first started Nomadness. And in just kind of saying yes to the community as it was growing out in its earlier days, I mean, within 6 months of us starting the group, we were on a trip to Bocas del Toro, Panama. So, and that was not something that I had foresight on or, you know, saw. When I created the community, I had no idea that it was going to turn into a business. I remember entrepreneur.com did an interview on me, and I can't remember if it was in the title, but it's definitely in the interview where she told me, she's like, you know, you're kind of like an accidental entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, actually, yeah, you're kind of right, because I was looking for community. You know, I was a three-time expat. Right after I graduated college, I had moved to Paris and was doing filmmaking with the New York Film Academy, and Paris just kind of like sucked me in. And, you know, you're very raw right after college. You're very raw. You're emotional. You're sensitive. I'm an empath by nature too. So it's like everybody's coming at you with a, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And it's like, actually, I need everybody to have a seat because I'm nervous and you're making me anxious like while I figure out this thing called life. And for me, while everybody else was trying to hustle so hard to get, you know, a job, I actually went and I started traveling right after, literally 6 weeks after I got my diploma. And I was the commencement speaker of my graduating class. Like from the time I got off that stage at Madison Square Garden, it was about a 6 week countdown from when I got on a plane and I left. So while everybody else was looking for jobs, I was looking for me.
Adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like finding a kindred spirit. That was exactly what I did. In 2009.
Nice.
My little brother's famous quote was, he was 17. He's like, you're going to regret this. You should have a job. My 17-year-old brother.
Oh, no.
So walk us through a little bit of the transition from making this community into a business.
Yeah. So again, kind of like accidentally, I remember one of the most pivotal points, I'll never forget this day, and I don't remember the actual day, but we were only 3 months into creating Nomadness, so it had only been maybe like a couple hundred people that were in the group. And at that time, we had one member, Alex Hardy, who was living in Panama, and it was like the
yes,
one...
Yes, that's my boo!
Yeah, it was the one place where nobody else had been yet. So he was like this really sarcastic... If you know Alex, you know he's super sarcastic, intelligent as hell, but really funny and kind of a smartass. And so he was a character that stood out really early on in the days of Nomadness. And so we were like, look, you're dope. You have nobody else around you in Panama. Like, let's bring the new Nomadness experience to you. And that's how I picked the destination for the first trip. And I remember it being like a Tuesday or Wednesday, some like work night, school night at around midnight. I said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to open up. These people are talking about how they want to travel together. This is not what I signed up for, but I'm going to say yes to this part of the programming and see what happens. And so within like 30 minutes, late one night, we had picked a place. And Alex was like, look, if you come to Panama, there's these islands. We should go to Bocas del Toro. So I'm like researching places. I find this villa that fits 16 people in it. And so I drop the information in the group just thinking that I can go to sleep and then I'll be able to finish this conversation when I get up in the morning. And it was one of the most amazing things because I dropped it at, it had to be approaching 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't go to sleep until about 3 because within an hour, we knew who the people that were going to be. We were setting up a way to give deposits. I had already reached out and people started screenshotting how much flights were from where they lived to be able to get to the villa in Bocas del Toro. And I had never seen something move so fast in my life. And that was the moment that I realized that I was really onto something here, that there was a community built. And even in that moment, I didn't know it was going to be a business, but I knew that there was something here. And then like a week or two into it, people were like, yeah, we need to have Nomadness shirts for the trip. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm in like merchandise too. All right. So like, I'm like the guy that I had create Fresh.Daily, the graphic designer that I had create our membership cards that we handed out at the first meetup 3 weeks into creating the group, you know, we chopped and screwed the image and put it together. And that was the first Nomadness shirt. So as soon as like money started being exchanged, that's when I realized that I needed to have some type of entity to protect it, but also to kind of like have on standby because I had no idea what was being built here. I just needed community so bad with people that had travel as a priority. you know, not somebody who's just hung up on going when they can for their vacation days, like people who were really making moves in their lives to have a either location independent lifestyle, or it was a priority. Like they were getting rid of TV bills and stuff like that to put it towards a travel fund, like people who weren't playing around with this. And so that's really when it started to shift into a business. It was never a part of my plan. Mm-hmm. It was a part of the evolution of me seeing what the community wanted and where they were going and saying yes to that, even though I was terrified.
Wow. What were you doing around this time? Were you working? Were you, sort of paint the picture for me at what, where you were in your life and your career when you decided to make, like, make a go of this?
I was 27 years old. And I was a freelance television producer. So I was working in television, which is what my background is in. I went to Iona College and my degree was in mass comm with a focus in TV and video production. And then my minor was in fine arts. So I'm also a creative that entered the business realm. I have absolutely no business background. And a lot of it is trial and error, you know, just kind of experimenting with things. But I love the fact that I'm a creative coming into a business space, because that visionary never leaves. And that is such an integral part to innovation. You know, I've seen some business people, they kind of get so wrapped up in like the numbers and the businessy part of stuff that they lose that creative edge and, you know, the vision to really like go forth and innovate. That's something that I actually have in mass. It's like the day-to-day stuff that I need, you know, that I pull the help in on. So, you know, but yeah, so I was actually working in television production, and it was funny because the show that I was working on, I mean, it's normal in freelance, especially in a city like New York City. You know, shows will just end and people will just get fired, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening when I started Nomadness was that the show that I was on ended up getting canceled and I qualified for unemployment. And it was the first time, because I had been unemployed before that, dealing with freelancing in New York City, mm-hmm. but it was the first time that I ever made a decision like, okay, I can either try to jump right back into this rat race and see what the next show is that I can pick up for a couple months to get some dough in, or I could give this some breathing room for a couple months and experiment, get on unemployment and see what the hell this thing is that I've created. And I made that move approaching 6 years ago, and I've never worked for anybody else ever since.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you. It's been a crazy ride.
You know.
It's been a crazy ride. But I did. I had to make the diligent decision. I remember writing in my journal, I actually have this, and at our anniversary, I usually dig this journal up and kind of take a picture of it and put it on social media, where I got to a point in an age at one point where I stopped asking, like, I wasn't asking people for money. You know, some people get in a bind and they want to ask people for money. What I started to do at this point was I started to ask people to tell me that it's all going to work out.
Okay.
And I was like, I just need to hear this from somebody outside of myself, you know, huge practitioner of law of attraction. But when it gets like crazy,
yeah.
I saw people and I'm like, Tiffany, you know this. Uh-huh. I'm like, I just need to hear that it is all going to work out. I'll take the reins from there. The universe will guide me from there. But sometimes you just need to hear those words from people that, you know, really believe in you and people who have really been through those tough times too and come out on the other side. Like, you just need to hear that. And so I remember when it got nuts and my unemployment was only $220 a week living in New York City. Mm. And I remember getting that information, like when I got the breakdown of how much they give you a month, like a month and a week. And I remember that was the day that I called Jason up, but also I wrote in my journal in huge Sharpie. I was like, it's all going to work out. And that's really all I had to keep going until things started to pop off with Nomadness. So it was very interesting looking back in retrospect.
I mean, I always looked at, because I was laid off too in New York City. See, I feel like it's like,
I know.
And that there was no better drive and like push than being laid off in New York City and getting that puny little like unemployment check than to push you forward and like keep you going. I feel like it's like a really good, I don't know, momentum starter, like kick in the ass kind of.
Yeah, you have to. I feel like sometimes the universe like edges you into things, but yeah. I'm also an air. So like life is really, really like rough with me because I think that it knows that I can handle it. sometimes it'll just kick you off the cliff, you know, and you got to free fall for a little bit before you realize how to fly on your own. And, mm-hmm. and it's crazy. It really is crazy. And it's not for everybody. That's the other thing. So, you know, I'm definitely not one of these people anymore who is along the lines of like entrepreneurship is for everybody. It's not.
Yeah.
For this. Yes. Not everybody. You know,
it's so funny when you first, I feel like when people first jump into entrepreneurship, it's like when you first like get into a relationship and you're like, yes, girl, everybody need to get them a man. Yes. And then once you start really doing the work, you're like, well, you know, you might be good single.
Right. But it's just, I mean, I have to keep it 100% with you. I have friends that are entrepreneurs that I don't think are cut out for entrepreneurship. Mm. And that's real.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and you just, you see it, you know, you see it in different ways. But then I have friends that are, you know, phenomenal entrepreneurs, you know what I'm saying? And the people that I can turn to, and, you know, we have those safe spaces and candid conversations and we build each other up and you keep going. But yeah, it's definitely not for everybody. Absolutely not. I know. I am very, very aware that I'm batshit crazy. So it's like, well, I take that and I run with it.
Well, you must be good at, I mean, you must have be good at it in some way because it's doing so well. But I want to ask the question of at what point, well, first, how does No Madness make money? How do you make money? How do you live? And at what point did you get to a place where you felt like, okay, I'm actually sustaining myself with this business and it's viable and, you know, it's all going to be okay.
Right. I feel like the light at the end of the tunnel came about 4 years in. And we're about to hit 6 years in. So it was very turbulent. And let me not say that as if right now, like I'm sitting pretty and everything is like colorful. Like entrepreneurship is real and there are ups and downs. And you try different things. You come out with different products. You know, you try to bring value to people's lives while also offering something that you can make money off of. You know, that's kind of the name of the game right now. But the different, there's a trillion avenues. And one of the things that's been really awesome over the last 2 years, but I made a promise to myself this year to really focus on it because it's been growing in tandem with No Madness, is also my personal brand. And so as No Madness has grown and, you know, has been the blueprint really of what is now the Black travel movement on social media, myself as an influencer, my value has gone up and my following has gone up and I've been able to capitalize on that and kind of throw it in the mix. So the trips were one way that No Madness was making money. Our pivot from there has now gone into events, both international and domestic, which are a big part of it. So you're talking our anniversary parties, our trips abroad, our events abroad. We just did spearheaded two in Johannesburg, South Africa, and in Jaipur, India. All the way to our conference, our annual conference that we have. Then you have the merchandise aspect. I am also a co-executive producer along with Issa Rae of HBO's Insecure. And we have a web series that's on her YouTube page, The No Madness Project, in which there's also ad revenue that comes in from there.
Wait a second. Why did you bury the lead that you're part of my favorite show ever?
I don't
understand.
I'm not a part of it.
How did I not know that?
I'm friends with Issa. I'm friends and co-creator with Issa. I am not a part of Insecure.
Wait, what?
Close enough.
Right. You're tapping on it. I'm like, wait, don't let me get the Issa hit me up like,
chick. Your hands were somewhere on it at some point.
Yeah. No, Issa's dope. I may
she
actually
looked amazing
have a
at the BET Awards. I have so much to say. No, that's awesome.
No, I love Issa. Issa really came on board early on, too, actually, with No Madness. Like, we've been in cahoots for a couple years now and actually built a friendship. I was just on the set of Insecure maybe like a month and a half ago and was like catching up with her. I happened to be in LA for some production stuff that I was doing. And she's just like, look, anytime you're around, come down. So I did a cameo thing. We'll see if it makes the cut. But yeah, Issa and Melina are really, really dope. So I literally hung out with them all day and was doing some shooting with them. So we're gonna see. I'll have my eye on this season. But there's ad revenues in there and there's sponsorship and partnerships, which is a big thing right now too. Like one of our main partners is Airbnb, you know, but we've also had hotels.com and like Emirates Airlines, like different, you know, Etihad Airlines, excuse me. And you know, so there's a million ways. I'm a hustler, right? I'm a freelancer. So I'm not going to make money one way. I'm going to make money like 10 ways. Mm-hmm. So that if I ever have to lean on something more than others, you know, even speaking with, you know, Tiffany, we have our online course that we spearheaded last year, NMDN Black Box, you know, really introducing travel and breaking down these fears and, you know, stereotypes and misconceptions that you have to be of a certain economic bracket to be able to travel, you know, and really taking the mission of nomadness and putting it into a course. That was something that was really different from us. And, you know, Tiffany was like an awesome mentor in that way. But yeah, I got a bunch of ways that I make dough. It's all about diversifying the income.
Absolutely. Sure. I think that is so important, just like you said, to have different income streams. But you mentioned Airbnb, and I was going to bring that up earlier, just like how important it is to have groups like Nomadness, and yep. especially at a time where people may be wondering, like, well, why do we need groups like this? I mean, ask any person who's ever of color who wants to travel, and it's clear to me why there's been such a massive response and emotional response to to Nomadness, and now you're partnering with Airbnb. Did that come before or after all the Twitter hoopla about Airbnb? Because for those who don't know, Airbnb's algorithm, or not the algorithm, but basically it was found that people were less likely to approve guests of color.
Color, yep.
Than those who were not of color, basically.
Right. It came before, actually. And it's funny because even we did our first conference, what, three? Yeah, we're approaching the third one. So we did our first conference 3 years ago. So Nomadness was 3 years old. And it was funny because from the time that we had very first started, I was like, yo, we got to partner with Airbnb. Because as a mission, I really, really love what this company stands for. And I like their story. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I was like, listen, this is what we do. And the other thing that makes Nomadness unique is because we weren't staying at hotels when we were doing our group trips. We would find tricked out houses or flats that would fit like 10 people in them, or mansions. And we would actually book those out. So everything goes back to the mission of us having a very intimate and familial type of feel with us. So we weren't really staying, like, India is one of the few places we stay in hotels because I don't trust the water and sanitation. Yeah. So I make sure that we're in a place that's safe and, you know, taken care of. But in most of the other places, like 80% of the time when we would travel in group trips, we'd be staying at Airbnbs. So it was an immediate, like, and that was something before they even spoke to us, when, you know, I would send out blind emails and not hear anything from anybody. So they're also a part of the Nomadness makeup. From the get-go. And so I had wanted to work and partner with them for years. And then our first conference, which launched maybe like, I want to say 6 to 9 months before the hashtag Airbnb While Black came out, they actually were one of the smaller sponsors that we had as kind of like a litmus test to see what it was. So they had come on board, not just as a partner, but even as a small monetary sponsorship for our first conference. And then it was like maybe 6 or 7 months after that was when stuff started to hit the fan with Airbnb While Black. We had already been in a relationship with them. So it kind of just like took off from there. I've actually spoken on panels with some of the people that they have in their head of diversity. I spoke on a panel with, we did a fireside chat with their head of, I think Community Belonging is the name of it, at Blavity's Afrotech in Silicon Valley at the end of last year. I'm going to be going back. They're actually bringing me to Essence Fest. So I'm going to be speaking at Essence.
Yay, I'll see you at Essence.
Yes, so I'll see you there too. So yeah, we've bridged. I was their community keynote in New York. We forged like a really, really cool partnership, and just kind of growing. And I'm a huge fan of their chief marketing officer, Jonathan. I spoke at Harvard Business School on a panel, ironically with Jonathan from Blavity, which is funny, but not that long ago, maybe about 2 months ago. And their keynote was Airbnb's chief marketing officer, Jonathan, who also had worked for Coca-Cola and some other huge name brands. And just the man's heart and head and artistry is just in the right place. And so I really love the way that they've gone about addressing it. And I've even spoken directly to their CEO, Brian Chesky, about it. I've been invited to some private dinners where, you know, I'm maybe one of like 25 people in the room along with Brian Chesky to really be able to hash some of this stuff out and hear them out, but also voice the other side, you know, and let them make sure that they really get what this means to our community. So I'm actually really proud of the work that we're doing with Airbnb and our partnership.
I'm heartened by that because I love me some Airbnb. I'd be so sad if I weren't allowed to use them anymore. Right?
Like, no.
It's a tricky, you know, spot, honestly, because, like, you know, on one hand, there's also like, okay, I'm the face of this, you know, not just No Madness, but also the Black Travel Movement. So I caught some shit on the back end. You know, when people saw me like doing this stuff, and it's like, you don't understand the historical context of how we've been working with them. And, you know, people, especially online, it's like the drama. They just want to come in for the fireworks and then leave. They don't even want to hear the story, you know? Yeah. So there's this historical context between our two companies that was already built before this stuff hit the fan. In addition, you know, other, like, you know, a competitor came up, and that idea for their business was actually spearheaded by a thread inside of No Madness where they
asked, I remember,
would be interested. And I actually told the co-founder, I said, listen, this is such a good idea. You need to get this out of No Madness because you don't know what resources and capital people have sitting. They'll snatch your idea from right here. Like, I love this community, but we got everybody in here. You got to be smart about this. Like, get an attorney and get this thing going. And they ended up running into their own issues at the onset of it. But these things really started from No Madness.
That's awesome. And
that's something, you know, to take note, but it shows the power of our community. Like, I really want to say, and I think I'm pretty much on point with this, every single, like, noted Black travel group that is out right now that you can name, I believe all of their CEOs started as nomadic members. All of them.
Yep.
How do you protect yourself when you have so much competition right out the gate? I mean, it's a compliment. Uber, Lyft, you know, that sort of thing happens. But yeah, talk about that.
You have to innovate. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only but so far that you can, you know, it's like somebody else coming up with a, you know, a finance group. You can't stop people from popping up with these things. It just is what it is. But I think getting to the core, refining and making sure that you are steadfast with your mission, in addition to, like, I'm one of these types of people. I'm extremely competitive. I'm an Aries and I'm also an artist. So, like, I'm sensitive about my shit. And with all that being said, it's like, I don't need to be in these other groups. I have spies. Like, anytime I need to see something that's going on or get some feedback, I will. I create very much in a bubble. And I've learned that as being a creative, because I never want the next person's thing, whether it was organic to them or not, to start influencing why and how I do what I do. Yeah. I just as an artist and as a person, like, I don't rock like that, you know? So with that being said, I let people do what they're going to do. I mean, it's never gotten to the point of, like, legal boundaries, but there's definitely been some copycatting. You know what I'm saying?
Moral boundaries crossed over.
Exactly. But as long as I can look myself in the face, and I will go to bat for what I have. I'm extremely protective of what I've had, and I've been called every name in the book because of it, because I will definitely rise to the occasion with class, but I'll let you know. You know what I'm saying? It's been like that over years, but I think the more that you are self-assured in what you bring to the table, and again, that level of innovation, nobody is touching us. And that's just not just No Madness, but even me personally, you know, like, in taking the culture, because for me, it's not just about, for example, I just gave a TED talk that is about to shut this entire system down. Okay. And that's after being in a TED residency for 3.5 months, in which I'm building out the next phases of No Madness that now have not just to do with us traveling abroad, but now acquiring property abroad. So again, it's about innovating and thinking outside of the box and going to the next levels and staying true as hell to who you are, regardless of what other people are doing in your space.
Yeah, it's not easy. And so I commend you.
Offensive at times. Like, you want to be off with their heads. And the thing is, you have every right to feel that way. You really do, especially, and I've said this to Tiffany too, like, it's different. Nobody knows what it's like to be first in a realm. Even if you're second in an industry, you do not go through the same things that the first person goes through. And there's some real humbling and ego checking and, you know, swallowing of pride that happens in that first position, because everybody is going to pull something from you, something, because you were the first in that space. And so you're groundbreaking. I think it was Dave Chappelle. He said it in Inside the Actors Studio. It's my favorite one, the only one I bought, but it was a quote that had something to do with Richard Pryor, where they say the mark of genius is when everything before you is obsolete and everything after you bears your mark.
Mm.
And that's how I feel about No Madness.
So what was the, can you give us a taste of what the TED Talk is about?
Oh, the TED Talk is about the evolution of Black travel from Jim Crow until what is now a worldwide movement that No Madness started.
Wow.
That's the taste test I can give you.
How does it feel? Like, I always wonder, you know, like, you know, as a business owner, because, you know, sometimes you, like you said, you live and you create in the bubble. Are you, I mean, it seems like you are. Like today I was getting like a burger and somebody was like, but you're the Nista. And I was right. Like, hi, you know, and how do you wrap your mind around that you've created like an actual shift, not just like, oh, you know, some more people are traveling. No, like a real shift. There's a concrete, I can look at the data, more brown people are traveling and we could, are you able to wrap your mind around that? Are you able to conceptualize what that actually means? You know, like, how does that, you know, how does that feel?
So there's a couple things to that. One, I am a workaholic. And so having self-care and having a moment to reflect, I have to work just as hard as that at that as I have to do on my actual work, right? So for instance, I disappeared this weekend. Literally, I just got back this afternoon after getting an Airbnb and like I was up in Kingston, New York by myself for 2-3 days, didn't post anything on social media. I was like, I need to get out of here. Mm. And it's because a lot of feelings were conjured up after, you know, the TED residency was done. A lot of stuff has been happening, huge things that have made me question a lot of stuff and look at things and figure out what I want my life and my business to look like and how they intersect together in harmony. So there's been a lot of flushing out that happens. And I try to do that every couple months to make sure that I'm on the right track, not just for No Madness, but for Evita Turquoise Robinson. And so I'm going to be honest with you. I don't stop and let that feeling sink in a lot because as beautiful as it is terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's really crazy because you think about that or, you know, I can run even like, you know, walking in downtown Newark now, especially when I first moved here, it's like, I felt like I was running into a tribe member every day and, you know, and I'm out like painting my new apartment. So I'm out in like painted up, you know, sweatpants and looking crazy. But it was beautiful. And it's usually when I'm on the trips or when I'm abroad where I allow myself the time to really sit with it. And I normally end up crying, you know, I'm a crier. It's how I deal with stress and all types of stuff. I got to let it out. But it's those moments where I let it sink in and it's so powerful. But I always just keep going. I am really one of those people that kind of focuses on what's next and that innovation piece that's really important for me because I always want to stay ahead of the curve. And so I have these mini celebrations that happen with all the goals along the way. And then some goals that are obtained just shut me down. Like TED shut me down. It was like I have had give a TED talk on my vision board. And it's funny because we just pulled out the first High Council meeting. High Council is the nickname for my team. The first High Council meeting that we had back in January 2012, I had this huge photo paper on the ground and everybody had crayons and markers. And we were just like, yo, let's just brainstorm what we think this will look like in about 5 years. And for the first time since I started No Madness, I rolled that out with two members of my team like 2 months ago. And it was so crazy because we didn't name the sections, but you could kind of tell by what we wrote, who wrote what. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, in my section was TED Talk. Mm-hmm. And I had completely forgotten that I had written that down. And it was so interesting that I had correlated it with No Madness. Because you give a TED Talk as a person, but the fact that that was on like the No Madness blueprint from 6 years ago, and I had put that steadfast, and now knowing what my TED Talk is about and seeing how No Madness helped get me into this residency, like it's just, there's power with putting it out in the universe, you guys, like for real, and writing it down. It'll take some time, but it's coming, you know? And so it's those moments that really stop me like, whoa, you're really doing it and you're really changing people's lives. You know, like I said, I didn't go into this thinking that I was starting a business, but there's also some side effects to nomadness that I didn't understand. For example, everybody in nomadness has grown. Like, we're a millennial, you know, travel group for the most part. We have members that are upwards of 60 who have come on our trips, and they will drink and party you under the table. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, our guts are really between like 25 and 45 years old. And so everybody's grown, and I've met these people's parents, and I've had parents come up to me and say, Evita, you know, I just want to say thank you for creating this community, because I'm not a world traveler. And as a parent, I don't care how old your child is, you're always nervous about what would I do if something happened. And they're like, now we know that there's a community where if shit hit the fan, there are people that would take care of them, mm-hmm. you know? And unfortunately, a couple years ago, they had to tap into the community for that. And I rose to the occasion as a leader. You know, I say as a leader, you got to be there when it's pretty and when it's shitty. If not, don't sign up for it. Don't sign up for it, because it's going to happen. And, you know, that's really, it's those moments where we come together in celebration. It's the moments when I hear, you know, two tribe members hooked up and now they're having a baby together, you know, and they met at a meetup or on a trip. It's the businesses, of which there are many, that have been created from nomadness. Solopreneurs, location independent entrepreneurs, even people that met at meetups or on trips and now they've created businesses together. Like, mm-hmm. we are a community that is so much bigger than travel.
Okay.
And so much more personal than social media. And so when you see it in that context, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And it's amazing. I say I've been able to pinpoint my top three things that I've done in my life thus far. And I put, after giving my TED talk, I put on social media, I said, you know, this is the second biggest thing that I've done in my life. And one of the organizers of the residency was like, damn, well, what do we have to do to be number one? I said, creating nomadness is number one.
Okay.
And I don't know if anything is going to beat that until I become a mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a good segue to kind of our kind of wrapping up. Like, so what's next? Like, what's any major thing that's coming up?
We're releasing the app this summer, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be coming out on iOS first, just because we were trying to get this Android together. Android's too glitchy. This is like the thing that you learn about when you're coming out with an app. So the Nomadness Connect app is definitely going to be dropping this summer, which is going to be amazing. I can't wait. And we're getting our ducks in a row to really push forward for this TED Talk going viral when it comes out, which is probably going to be early fall, and really producing the residency program, which I'm starting to speak more openly about, which, like I said, I think the first 6 years of Nomadness was really about breaking the stereotype of an international traveler and getting us out there and letting us know that we could do it at various price points. And I really think the next phase of Nomadness is going to be more so focused on what we do while we're out there.
Okay.
And one of the first transitions that we're going into, you know, we started the events, launched those this year, but something that's going to be hitting before the end of 2017, is really this property acquisition. And I'm really excited. I have a development company that's already on board with the project that I was working with through TED. And yeah, I can't wait to get that going and, you know, start with Nomadness as the funnel system so we can really start rooting abroad and making change, you know? And I don't trust our president at this juncture. So I'm getting my apartment first.
So where can people find like more about Nomadic? Cause I know a ton of people are going to be like, I want to be part of the tribe. How do they join the tribe? Where can they find you?
They can go directly to the website, nomadnesstv.com, and you will see a join the tribe tab, and you can go right in there and funnel through and we'll get you in the group. But yeah, nomadnesstv.com. At social media, we're at Nomadness Tribe on every platform across the board.
I'm so proud of you, Evita, honestly, because I mean, I know, you know, how hard you work. I know how heart you work. So not just how hard, but how hard you work. You know, I know how soul you work. And so just to see all that you've put in and to see you reap the benefits, and also not just reap the benefits, but change the world around you. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate you, ladies.
Thank you, Evita. It was so much fun talking to you.
Yes, likewise.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.